Yes, I'm going to ask you once again, good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Thank you. That has a greater vibration and a deeper resonance. I'm into vibration and resonance. I want to feel the truth of what you're stating. I want to feel your blessings for me and for each other. That it is an affirmation, that it is a good morning. It is a God morning, right? So we don't want to be weak. We want to say, yes, good morning, God morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so glad to be here amongst you this morning because last week I had a little health challenge and I needed to stay home and I needed to stay home to rest. I rest my body and to rest my mind. And it was an unexpected need to do so, but you know, that's how the universe works sometimes. You know, when it needs to have you sit down and stop, it'll sit you down and stop you for a minute. So I want to give thanks to my wonderful sister and colleague who I can always call at the drop of a hat and say, Reverend Charlie, can you go for me? And she says, yes, I can go for you. So I want to thank you. It's a blessing to be able to have someone who can step in and do the wonderful work that we are all called to do by being in this sacred space. So I truly am grateful and thankful for you, yes, for stepping in. And it gave me a moment because it was in the middle of a very powerful class on liberating your limitations. And it was a master course for light bearers. And we were focused on the qualities of being that might be needed for us to really be able to, really and truly, to be able to begin to express this light that we've been speaking of, to express this power that indwells us, and this energy that gives us breath and life and the ability to move and do, to express that, all of that being of the divine. And we talked about that, and we focused on that. And we focused on this energy, this power, this light, this vibration, this love, to be able to utilize it so that we could transform our lives and thus the world. That's what we were focusing on. To be able to transform our lives, because if you're going to change the world, it has to start first with who? With me, with self. Because as I am transformed, then my world is transformed. And when my world is transformed, then the world is transformed. And so we were working at the qualities and understanding what is it going to take for us to be able to express that fully and freely as clear vessels, as clear as a vessel we can be. Because light shines through a transparent vessel, a clear vessel, right? And so we want to be a reflection of that light, but we want to also be a clear reflection and transparent, open and receptive so that the light of God can shine through us and it can express through us, unhindered by anything that we might have standing in the way, which means that we have work to do within ourselves, because that's a pretty high notion, isn't it? To be able to transform, if we're going to say, we're going to transform and change the world, that's a high notion, is it not? It's a very powerful one. But you know what? I firmly believe that it is possible for us to do so. Because we've seen where one person can indeed change the world, right? One person, one thought, one energy, one action can change and transform the world. Somebody had a thought, let's move this thing and make a wheel. That simple wheel changed the world. Somebody discovered the power of fire and said, well, let's use this fire to do this and to do that, and that changed the world. So it's very powerful for us, and I believe that it is possible. It is possible for us to be and to do all that I spoke of in that class, because I used the scriptures as our foundation. I used the teachings of some master metaphysicians, Charles Fillmore, Jesus, and others, right? I believe firmly that what they say is possible. It's possible for us to be and to do. It's possible to be a luminous light bearer and a masterful metaphysician. That's our goal, and that's what we want to do. So I was teaching all of that, and this was the end of the second week, and wouldn't you know it, right after the second class, which was a Wednesday, I came home late, and I decided I didn't feel like cooking anything. I really feel like cooking anything, but I really didn't feel like cooking, but I was hungry. I was hungry, and so I decided I was going to eat some old fish that I had in the refrigerator. And as I was eating it, I heard the voice say, maybe you shouldn't be eating this. But I was hungry. And it was about 10:30, because class lets out late. It was about 10:30, and I said, but I'm hungry. So I ate it. And about 5:30 in the morning, uh-oh, my eyes flew open, and all of a sudden, I found myself right in the grips of a health challenge, I'll call it that. And it stopped me in my tracks, and it consumed all of my attention. Now, here I was the night before, just feeling so good about the first two classes, because I really do feel that it was a download. It was something special that Spirit was giving me to share. And so I was feeling so good, and I was feeling joy, and I was feeling the connection after this wonderful download and this presence and energy that was, I believe, touching everybody and opening everybody up at a deeper level. I was so wonderfully blessed, and all of a sudden to awaken the next day feeling sick and in pain. Physical pain. And I had had pain before, you know, you all have the discomforts of having some food, but this was, it was just painful. And I tried to go to a meeting I had, and about 10 o'clock, I was like, I said, I got to go home. I got to go home. And then it was like, I got to go to the doctor. I need to go to the emergency room, you know. And what said to me was that this clarion had sounded, because I had all this energy from the class and the teaching, and it was the clarion that had sounded and said, metaphysician, heal thyself. And I was like, oh my goodness, metaphysician, heal thyself. See, because sometimes life will give you an opportunity to what? Practice what you preach, right? Sometimes, because I was talking about the power of the word and all of this stuff, and the universe was like, okay, metaphysician, heal thyself. Practice what you preach. We have a joke amongst Unity ministers that, you know, you should be very, very careful about what you choose to teach and speak on, because you just might have the opportunity to live it. You might have the opportunity to have to demonstrate the truth that you teach. So you need to be careful, which is why I think a lot of times ministers don't want to talk about healing, because they don't want to have that experience of having to call forth a health challenge and manifestation. And although I wasn't really speaking about health at all per se in the class, it wasn't a class on health, just to show you sometimes how the universe works. Just because you manifest something, it's not exactly in relationship to what I wasn't thinking about ill health. But what I was doing, I was talking about the power that we wield as metaphysicians. I was indeed talking about the power of the word and the power of our word and the power of our ability to use our word to bless ourselves and our lives. I was talking about the power of the I am. I was talking about the light that we have that exists within us. This light, the power of the light to heal and to bless and to transform our lives, our conditions, our circumstances, our experiences. I was talking about that stuff. And the universe said, oh yeah? Well, metaphysician, heal thyself. And so I had an opportunity to practice. I had an opportunity to go within and to look at myself. And I had an opportunity to go within and to see my own level of truth and the strength or lack thereof of my own consciousness. Because it's what we teach, that life is consciousness. And that when something is showing up as a manifestation in your life, there's some connection, some correlation to what might be taking place within you. And so I was talking about in my own self of being this transparent light, of being able to release. And so the Spirit said, I'm going to cleanse you as a vessel so you can be that light, literally and figuratively. So I had a chance to go within and look at myself. What's going on? Where am I in this process? Because you see, there's nothing like a health challenge, big or small, to point out to you that something is amiss. Right? Because a health challenge gets your attention quick, fast, does it not? Yes, it grabs your attention. Because if you think about it, the body is a well-oiled machine. And it knows how to work. All these various moving parts and systems and, you know, glands and cells and, respiratory system and digestive system and all these things. The body knows how to work and to work with ease. We don't have to always tell the body, breathe, right? It breathes. Now, barring some condition, we know that sometimes we'll have a manifestation. But for the most part, the body knows how to move in ease and with ease. And when something is, when we experience a dis-ease, a disease or a dis-ease, when that occurs, it is a signal to us that something has to happen to bring it back, the body, mind, body, so bring it all back into what? Alignment. That something somehow is out of alignment. And so we need to do something to bring ourselves back into the flow of ease and grace and the body just doing what it needs to do. Now, the body is a good example, but these things, this also works with many other areas of our lives, because we can experience lack of ease mentally, not just in our physical being, but mentally, in our physical, right? Emotional, psychological. We might be at ease, or even spiritually, right? We know this. We could be ill at ease. You ever think of where that phrase? We could be ill at ease. You could be ill at ease psychologically. Stuff is going on and not balancing, not right. We could be ill at ease, even spiritually, having an existential crisis, where you get to the point where you even doubt that God is working in your life and affairs. Or maybe even if there is a God, because there's something in you that spiritually you are ill at ease. Emotionally, out of balance, out of whack, out of sorts, out of ease, dis-ease, right? That there's something, again, that is signaling when we find ourselves on any one of those planes, but when we find ourselves, there's a signal that's saying that we need to be brought back into alignment. My system needed to be brought back into, and it's still trying to get itself, because sometimes when it gets out, it doesn't snap right back in. My brother reminded me that as I get older, it doesn't really function that way. So it may take a little bit more time, right, to get back into alignment so that the systems are all working and that they're strong and that they can handle whatever it is that I'm putting in that is of good quality and being. So we have to figure out what's going on within our being. Where are you ill at ease? Do you feel at home with yourself, right? Are you comfortable in your own skin? Are you at peace with your life and your affairs, with everything that's taking place? Are you experiencing any conflict, inner conflict, or any disturbance? Is anything moving around that shouldn't be moving around in your life and in your affairs? Are you feeling whole and well in every area of your life? Because we know that we are spirit, soul, and body, right? Or spirit, mind, and body. We know that we operate on certain planes. We know, I just said, that we operate on a physical plane. We operate on an emotional plane. We operate on a mental plane or a psychological plane. And we operate on a spiritual plane. And at any given point in time, any one of those planes may be out of alignment, out of whack, out of balance. You may be strong, go to the gym every day, Your body is all buffed up and looking good, but inside your head is messed up, right? Or you could have, you know, a strong spiritual practice and fortitude. You do all this stuff, but you don't take care of the body. Or maybe, you know, you've got your mind is strong. Your psychological sense is strong. You spiritually, you know who you are and whose you are and all that stuff. But emotionally, you just a wreck. Because somebody done left you. Emotions can bring down the highest and strongest, right? So you think, oh, now I'm out of whack. I've got 5 PhD, but my boo has left. And I don't know what to do. But I can solve the metaphysical and spiritual and physical equation of how to get us to the moon, but my boo has left. See, we're laughing, but that's true. Okay? So any one of these at any given time can be out of whack, out of balance, out of source, ill at ease, right? And so the thing is, well, it says, metaphysician, heal thyself. Because when any one of those facets of our beings are out of balance, what happens is we begin to be thrown into limited states of consciousness. And we maybe even begin to express in ways that we really don't want to express, ways that do not serve us well. Maybe I'll take a little drink because that'll help to calm my mind. Maybe I'll, you know, well, I won't get into all of that, but we might engage in things that do not serve our well-being, our well-being. To be healed is to be made whole. And we've got a lot of moving parts. To be made whole, to be in alignment, so that that whole sense of who we are is serving us well, all those facets of being. So if we're going to be light bearers, luminous light bearers, that is, clear vessels through which the light can shine and we can do our work, if we're going to be masterful metaphysicians, then we might want to begin by working on ourselves and looking at the state of wholeness in which we exist. What's the level? Where's my growing edge? What needs to be healed in me? What needs to be shored up in me? Because before I go out to save the world, metaphysician, heal thyself. And even Jesus had to do this process. And matter of fact, the word metaphysician, heal thyself, comes from the biblical scripture where Jesus, he goes back to Nazareth, the town that he's born in. And this is at the beginning part of his ministry. And I'm going to tell you about what happens before that. But he goes back to Nazareth. And they had heard about him because he had done a healing work at Capernaum at the wedding when he turned water into wine. And his mother said, look, you know, do this thing. Do your thing. And he did it. But he said, woman, my time has not come. He didn't really want to start the show, but it had gotten around. Right? And he tries to prepare himself before he begins his ministry. And I'm going to tell you about what he does to prepare himself. But he's prepared now, and he goes into Nazareth, his hometown. And the people there, first thing they say is he comes in and he picks up the scripture and he reads the scripture that says that telling what his work is going to be. He's making a declaration. He stood up in the synagogue and he reads this scripture and he says to the people, I have come here to heal the brokenhearted, right? To lift up those that are in bondage and to free those that have been captured. So he quotes from Isaiah and says, this is what my work's going to be. Puts it down, he sits, he closes the book and he sits down. And then he says, I know what you all are going to say. You all are going to say, physician, heal thyself. Meaning, he says, you know, and then they even said, well, to themselves, they said, well, isn't that Joseph's boy? Right? You say, isn't that Joseph's boy? See, when you come up and you make a proclamation of all these things that we're going to do, I'm going to save the world, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They said, well, isn't that Sylvia who from Brooklyn who went to Thomas Jefferson High School? I know her. Don't we know her? I know her when. See? And they're going to want to what? Hold you to when they knew you when. I know who you are. You're this, that. And they want to put you what in the box and define you. Especially when you come out and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to save the world. I'm going to transform the world. I'm the light of the world. They're like, well, aren't you so-and-so? He says, so I know that's what you're going to say about me. See, they were like, well, we heard, and it says in the scripture, we heard what you did at Capernaum. Now do some stuff here. Let's see what you can do here. And that's when he says, you know, a prophet is never honored in his own town, in his own country. See? So sometimes, like even when I tell people I'm a minister, you know, I have a friend who's and my friend's always saying, well, why don't you just say one of your prayers and heal me and bless me? And say, mm-mm. Don't work like that. You know what I'm saying? They want me to be able to just demonstrate on the spot. Now, I could do that, but that's not the purpose. Or because they have a disbelief or questioning belief in what I'm to do, guess what? My prayers don't even work on that because they're not working with me. They are working in a spirit of what? Disbelief. Prove to me that you can do this. So you have to leave that alone. So Jesus then, he has to go to this process as well. Now, he goes into the wilderness. This is before he begins his public ministry. He has already done this little deed of transforming water into wine. And now he's ready to begin his public ministry. But before he does that, he goes and he takes himself into the wilderness. He goes off into the wilderness to be not necessarily by himself, but I say to face himself. He goes into the wilderness to face himself, right? So that he could experience what might need to be released in him so that he could begin his wonderful ministry and his work. And this is right before he goes into the wilderness, he's baptized by John the Baptist. And in this baptism, the descent of the Holy Spirit comes upon him, right? The dove descends. So once he has this spiritual power now within him and it's been activated, he's ready to begin his work, and so he goes into the wilderness to face himself. But he's armed with what? The presence of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God, the action of God. Now, he needed to clean up and clear some things before he began his work, some things in his own consciousness, in his own mind, to make sure that he was always going to be coming from a place of power, but coming from a place of power, power that was anchored in God. Power, he got to be clear. He knew he's going to be able to do some powerful things, but he had to be clear that this power was going to be anchored in God and not coming from any place of weakness within him or coming from any place of the limitations of the ego or personal identity. You know, a lot of times people will say, oh, Reverend Sylvia, and I just, you know, like, mm-mm. You should tell, mm-mm. Not because I'm ashamed of anything, but I keep myself in check. I want to, you know what I mean? I got to make sure that I don't think that I'm doing all of this. Because that's a hard fall down. And so he goes in this so he can face himself to make sure that he's coming from a place of strength and not the weakness of his own limitations and his own ego and his own personal identity. That's what people always say, who do men say that I am? Who do you think that I am? Because he was clear. Let me be clear on who I am and whose I am is God. Who's the source? God. I am the son, but I'm the son of God. I'm also the son of man. Let me be clear. So he goes off into the wilderness, and let me read what happens as he is met with himself in this experience. And I'm reading from Luke. I'm reading out of the message, and it's Luke chapter 4. I'll start with this verse. It says, now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wild. For 40 wilderness days and nights, he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And when the time was up, he was hungry. Now, I know the feeling. I was hungry last Wednesday. Right? And I was forewarned not to eat it. But I'd already eaten so much of it, I thought, oh, what the heck? Let me continue. So he goes in, and it says he goes into the world. He's led by the Spirit. Goes into the wilderness, and he is met by what? By, it says, by the devil. Now, right off the bat, I want you to know how we stand. In New Thought and in Unity, we do not ascribe to, quote unquote, the devil as a personified being, as a being that is separate and apart from God, or a being that has some kind of power, you know, over, or power that is equal to or greater than God. We affirm in New Thought and Unity what there is only what? One presence and one power, right? So there isn't any other power out there that is equal to or greater than God. So we don't say that there's a devil that is a personified being. And if you need a devil to motivate you, then this might not be the place. Because we are going to say that there's a spirit of the living God in you that will move you. The whole spirit of God that will move you. So you don't have to blame it on anybody else, or the devil made you do it. None of that stuff. That does not work. So metaphysically, we're speaking of the devil as an aspect of our own consciousness. It's an aspect of the self that believes itself to be separate and apart from God. It is our limited, fearful, egoic aspect of consciousness. That's what it is, right? And then as I came up with that spirit, I said, read the definition for the revealing word. So I'm going to stop for a minute, and I'm going to read this definition for in the revealing word. So this will give you our metaphysical understanding. And it says, the devil, the mass of thoughts that have been built up in race consciousness through many generations of earthly experiences and crystallized into what may be termed human personality or carnal mind, which opposes and rejects God. The devil is a state of consciousness adverse to the divine good. Other names for this, what? State of consciousness. So you can be in a devilish state of consciousness, all right? But in this state, other names for this state of consciousness are the adversary, carnal mind, the accuser, and the old man. Now, I haven't heard that one before, because usually they refer to the old man as the man upstairs, the old man. But anyway, the old man. And it says here, there is no personal devil. God is the one omnipotent principle of the universe, and there is no room for any principle of evil, personified or otherwise. Now, well, I always ask people in my new members class, is there evil in the world? Yes. But is it manufactured by God? No. Whatever evil we see, guess what? We need to raise our hand. It is manufactured by us, right? And we have to own that. So, because otherwise we can't heal it if we can't own it. Don't be putting it off on God. Why is God letting war happen? Man is doing war business, right? Oh, what's happening to the earth? All these devastations of the fires. And so why is God causing all these natural disasters? Man is helping to cause these natural disasters. Let's be honest with that, right? So he says, the devil, how to overcome the devil? The devil is overcome by denying his existence. Don't give it any time and attention. It's a state of consciousness. But if you feed that consciousness will what? Grow. Okay, so it says the devil is overcome by denying his existence and affirming universal Christ's love for God and all men. Affirm the truth. The devils that we encounter are fear, anger, jealousy, and other similar negative traits, and they are in ourselves. Christ gives us the power to cast out these devils, these lower states of consciousness. Fear, anger, jealousy, right? Fear of scarcity, whatever it is. And we have the power to cast out these devils, thereby cleansing our consciousness. So the work that we are about is about cleansing the consciousness. And so Jesus was in there to make sure his consciousness, before he began his work, that his consciousness was clean and clear. So this is what happens as he meets this aspect of his consciousness. So then it says... The devil playing, which is what? A lower state of our consciousness within himself. The devil playing on his hunger gave the first test. Since you are God's son, command this stone to turn into a loaf of bread. And Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy. It takes more than bread to really live. Now, this is a powerful statement because what he was doing with that statement is to make sure that he is not solely focused on his physical needs alone. Sometimes we get consumed with the manifest realm, the physical realm, not just the body, but the manifest realm to feed us, right? To whether we have a nice house, a nice car, you know, the body is well fed, all that stuff. So this is his first encounter to make sure that the temptation does not lie within him to solely focus on his physical needs or the manifest realm. Because yes, we do have to take care of the body, but we must also take care of the things that feed our spirit. Because didn't he just said there are more things. He says it takes more than bread to really live. So more than just your physical being and well-being, you've got to take care of what are you feeding your spiritual being and well-being, right? What is happening to your spirit? And so the questions that you want to ask yourself is, what is it that is really bringing you sustenance? What is bringing you the sustenance to your soul? Are you feeding your spirit? So you can feed the body, and there are many people walking around, and they're feeding the physical body, taking care of the physical needs, but they are spiritually deprived, spiritually starving themselves. So what are you doing? Are you going out and looking at the sunset and letting that beauty feed your spirit? Are you going out and maybe meditating and each day making a commitment to connect to the spirit, read something powerful, spiritual, or do something, smile, anything that is feeding your inner being, right? That's important. And to tend to it daily, right? Because, you know, what happens if you don't eat daily? Huh? You're going to be hungry. And eventually, you're going to starve to death, right? You got to feed the body every day. Why not? What do you? You must feed the spirit every day. Because if you don't feed the body, it weakens, right? When your body gets weak, if you don't give it sustenance or food, it's going to weaken. Same thing occurs with your spiritual body. It will weaken and not be able to serve you well if you do not feed your soul, feed your spirit. Something nourishing, something positive, something that's going to sustain you. So when you have these wild times out here, you have something to lay hold of, something to fall back on. You know the truth that's going to gird yourself and make you strong. And all right, I understand this stuff out here, but it's not going to come unto me because I know who I am. I have spiritual power to rely upon the truth. All of that is feeding your spirit, and you must do it daily. Not just on Sundays, not just on occasions. Because if you don't eat once or twice a month, right? You want to eat every day. Feed your spirit every day. And so Jesus was clear on that. And then the next part test comes. And it says, for the second test, he led him up and spread out all the kingdoms of the earth on display at once. Then the devil said, they're yours in all their splendor to serve your pleasure. I'm in charge of them all and can turn them over to whomever I wish. Worship me and they're yours. The whole works. Jesus refused, again backing his refusal with Deuteronomy. Worship the Lord your God and only the Lord your God. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness. Worship God and serve him with absolute single-heartedness. Now, this is a powerful one as well, because who would not want to have the power of kingdoms at your hand, right? At your disposal. To bring the pleasures that you would seek, to serve all of your needs. See, power is enticing, right? Let's be honest. Everybody wants a little bit of power. Power is enticing. We've all heard the phrase that says, you know, absolute power corrupts what? Absolutely. But there's something about power that's very, very enticing, especially if we could have the ability to have power over something, power over someone. You know, and we all know and see that, you know, there are people in our lives who like to have power over us. Maybe you're a supervisor and you have power over the people underneath your charge. And sometimes maybe you're great and wonderful to them, and sometimes you lord your power. Sometimes you might, you know, recognize, well, I could, because I said so. See, so there's something about that. We have to understand, well, what are we doing, or how are we using our power, the kingdoms of the power? Maybe the opposite is occurring. We're not lording it over people or asking people to be subject to us. Maybe we have turned our power over to someone, right? And we do that sometimes too. And what happens is, when we turn our power over to someone, then we don't feel powerful. We feel what? Powerless. Not full of power, but powerless. And so we have to look at, in our lives, where have I surrendered my power? To whom have I given the power so I feel powerless in my life? Or maybe we are overtaken by the power of substance, of a substance that's not healthy for us, right? And that substance, so we become addicted to something that gives us a false sense of power, right? I don't feel good, so maybe if I take this substance is going to bolster up me, and I'm brave, and, you know, I can function better. We tell ourselves, I can function better. I can think clearer when I do this particular substance. Or I feel better when I can go shopping instead of facing what I need to face. Or whatever it is, but we somehow are overtaken by a power or a substance that gives us a false sense of power and who we are. Maybe we find ourselves worshiping someone or something other than God in an effort to get power. I see you have these skills and abilities. I would really like to have that. I'm gonna worship you. See? Worship no man except God. Because everybody here is fallible. Everybody here, you know, I have 2 feet and I trip over them sometimes. I know how to get back up. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to fall down. So if you're looking for me not to be falling down and be perfect, you're looking in the wrong place. Because I have to do my work, right? So sometimes we have to say, well, what am I worshiping? Am I worshiping money? Am I worshiping prestige? Am I worshiping my title? Am I worshiping my position? What is it that I think's given me power other than the power of God? And we've got to look at all of those things, because it says that we are to worship God with absolute single-heartedness. Give God the power and the glory. God gives us the power and the glory, but it is in God, not in other things. There's only one presence and one power. That power lies within us, and when we get in touch with it, we'll be able to do the things that are ours to do. But watch and see and look how you are expressing, utilizing, and working with your power. Are you powerful, full of God's power, or are you powerless? Are you powering over someone, or are you being powered overed? Check it all out and see where you are. And the third and final temptation, it says here, for the third test, the devil took him to Jerusalem and put him on top of the temple. He said, if you are God's son, jump. It is written, isn't it, that he has placed you in the care of angels to protect you. They will watch you and over you, and you won't so much as stub your toe on a stone. Yes, Jesus said, and it is also written, don't you dare tempt the Lord your God. That completed the testing, and the devil retreated temporarily, lying in wait for another opportunity. It's a process we go through. Remember, there's no devil out here, but there's a consciousness and a state within us, because we've all been tested, right, and tempted at times. And this is a particularly interesting one, because we've had moments of temptation. We have had moments where we hear those little voices in our sides, and not the voices that will put us in St. Elizabeth's or anything like that. But these voices that are talking to us, do this, do that. It's our own voice, right? It's our own voice that is speaking to us, but not from a place of power, not from a place of spiritual connection, but from a place that is separate and apart from our egoic sense of consciousness. And these voices are always trying to get us to do those things that we might really want to do secretly, but we would never do publicly. Everybody has those. Okay, don't think everybody has those things that you secretly would like to do, but you would never do outwardly. But those things still reside within your spirit and your consciousness, right? Who was it that said, oh, I have lust? Was it one of our presidents? No, it wasn't Carter. I think it was Bill. Was it Bill or Carter? No, it was Carter. And you know how pure Carter is? Isn't he a beautiful? He's just a gentle. I mean, that's his basic nature. The man is still serving humbly, but he still secretly had love. So don't go thinking you all perfect. I know what's lined up in your consciousness. But it's a temptation, right? So because we have it, we don't act upon everything that runs through your mind and through your consciousness. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't run through. But in moments of weakness, in moments when we're not conscious and aware of what's taking place, bam, we done slipped up. So we don't want to judge, because the potential lies within everybody. But it means that we know these temptations or these lower vibrations, lower thoughts, lower feelings, lower energy, anger, jealousy, all of that exists within us. But we have to make sure that we are the ones that keep it under wraps and not let it come to the forefront to tempt us. And the main thing that I think that this scripture is saying when he said, don't dare tempt God, is that we have to watch those times when we would be tempted to tempt God. Watch the times that you may be tempted to tempt God, because that's a dangerous game to play. Might be, I have faith. I'm a good and faithful servant, God. And I have faith that you would save me, because after all, I am a good person. I am a follower of truth. I'm like Job. I'm a faithful servant. So prove to me how much you love me. Prove to me, because I'm going to now jump off this bridge, and prove to me that you are going to save me. Splat. Show me how much you love me, God. Now, wouldn't that be foolish? It's foolish. But we do that not only as we're working with God, tempting God, but we do that with other people. I want to show me how much you love me. Prove to me you love me. And this is the thing. Here's the thing. God does not need to prove God's self. God does not need to prove God's self to us. The opposite is true. It is we who need to prove ourselves to God. We need to prove ourselves that we have proved, and prove ourselves to ourselves. Prove that we have faith. We have to prove that the principles of truth are working in our lives. There's only one place in the scriptures where it's reported that God says, prove me now and see if I would not what? Open up the windows of heaven and pour you forth a blessing. This is in relationship to tithing. But it is God saying, you still have to do something. When you give and you give, God says, that'll prove to that. Hey, prove me now. I'm going to give you. That's the only opportunity God says, prove me. The rest of it is, we must prove ourselves. Prove your own consciousness. Prove what it is you say you believe, right? Prove your own faith to yourself. It's not about tempting. You don't have the power to tempt God to do anything. Even when we are praying, it's not about us praying so that we can change the mind of God. We're praying to change what? Our own consciousness. We are praying to bring things into alignment where I am showing and demonstrating, manifesting perhaps lack of faith. I'm going to affirm my faith. I need to pray to show up my own areas of weakness. That's what we're doing. I'm not here to test God, but to prove the truth that will set me free. That's what I'm here to do, not to test God. So Jesus is saying, don't get it twisted. Understand what this is all about. And so we are working with ourselves because this is a powerful time that we are living in. It's challenging times. And the question is for us, that Jesus would also ask other people, do you want to be whole? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole? Wholeness is within you. You're either going to be broken or strengthened from within. It's up to you. So the question is, are you ready to be made whole? And if so, that means then doing the work of bringing your whole being into alignment. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, mind, and body. Bring it into alignment. Metaphysician, what? Heal thyself, because the world is waiting for your light. Blessings. Be well. Be well. Be well.